AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original.
I'm Steve Kathan. Secretary of State Blinken has postponed next week's planned diplomatic trip to China. It comes after a suspected Chinese spy balloon was seen over Montana. It's now high over the Midwest.
U.S. officials say the balloon is traveling at an altitude of 66,000 feet and maneuvering as it is blown on a trajectory that is expected to take it across the United States. The Pentagon continues to track it on radar and at times has it under visual observation. Military officials have recommended against shooting it down for now because of the danger it would pose to people on the ground. But officials say that recommendation could change once the balloon gets over an unpopulated area. David Martin, CBS News, Washington.
China insists it's a civilian research balloon and has expressed regrets. The government says employers added 517,000 jobs last month. CBS's Jill Schlesinger says that's considered a strong number.
The January jobs report underscores the message that Jerome Powell gave during his press conference this week. Although economic growth is weakening, the labor market remains resilient, which means the Fed is likely to continue raising interest rates maybe two more times at a quarter point each so that wage growth starts to come down and inflation readings improve.
Wind chills this morning in the upper Midwest were in the 25 below zero range. WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen says the brutal cold is now pushed east.
The winds continue to increase. They'll be running at gale force, running 20 to 30 and gusting over 40 miles per hour at times through the day today. And the temperature and wind combination will keep driving the wind chill down until it reaches dangerously low levels, anywhere from minus 10 to as low as minus 40 or minus 50.
Honda and the government are urging owners of thousands of older vehicles not to drive them until dangerous airbag inflators are replaced. Here's Jeff Gilbert of Detroit affiliate WWJ.
These are older 01 to 03 Hondas and Acuras with non-repaired Takata airbags. Honda says there are 8,200 vehicles out there that have a high risk of having the airbag inflator rupture that can cause death or serious injury. You can check with a dealer or the NHTSA.gov recall database.
A Republican bill in Arizona would restrict drag shows in the state.
It's not R-rated, it's X-rated entertainment.
GOP Senator John Kavanaugh says under the bill, performances would be banned near daycare centers, schools, and churches. Performer Jessica Harper spoke in opposition.
This bill is so vaguely written that it would effectively make it illegal for me to exist in public as a trans woman, let alone DJ anywhere but a strip club.
Checking Wall Street right now, a mixed bag. The Dow is up 57 points. The S&P is down 5. This is CBS News.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rose says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation too. The State of the Union address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Member-owned health plan providing high-quality health care and health insurance services to over 85,000 members living in South Central Wisconsin.
Today we're here with Christina Martin Wright from Arts for All Wisconsin and Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor. You are not going to want to miss today's show as we share how Arts for All Wisconsin are supporting those with disabilities, like my daughter. That's how we found out about this place. They also support people with memory loss and veterans. And then we also have Tim Markle on from The Forgiveness Factor. He's going to help us with our road to enlightenment as he talks about the power of forgiveness. And we all know that I absolutely need to work on that aspect.
Wisconsin has an estimated 580,000 family caregivers. We do this show each and every week to let caregivers and their families know you are seen, you are heard, and you are appreciated.
Definitely. So let's start today's show with Christina Martin Wright from Arts for All Wisconsin. Christina, can you introduce yourself to the audience, please, and tell listeners what brought you to Arts for All Wisconsin?
Well, thank you so much for having me here tonight. I love to talk about our work at Arts for All Wisconsin. I am the executive director, and I have been here for 4 years. After 2 decades or slightly more of work with Madison's nonprofits, I've spent those years working for and leading arts nonprofits, and I was aware during that time of the organization I am now so fortunate to be part of, and our paths crossed many times, and the opportunity came up to take a leadership position, and I found my forever home.
Oh, that's excellent.
I read that Arts for All Wisconsin came from a program called Very Special Arts, or VSA, that was a standalone nonprofit organization founded by Gene Kennedy Smith in 1974. Can you tell listeners how the program has evolved and what your current mission statement is?
Yes, we were actually born from that program that Gene Kennedy Smith started, and we were founded here in Wisconsin as Very Special Arts Wisconsin in 1985, and that is the very same organization that I am here representing today. A few years ago, we changed our name to Arts for All Wisconsin, but we are the same organization, our programming is the same, and our mission remains the same.
That explains a lot for me. That clears things up because well, you're here tonight because, as listeners heard last week, my daughter Nicole was recommended through her IRIS program to take the drum circle over at Arts for All. Yes. And she loves it, absolutely loves it. It's become one of her most favorite activities. That's where she is right now, actually. And so I love it too because it gives me the freedom to be here. But I also have been able to I've been able to see them all perform, and it's really cool. And I was wondering why I didn't. I kind of pride myself in being pretty dialed in, and I was like, how come I never have heard of this place? But I have heard of Very Special Arts.
Yes.
Okay. And it was something that I knew I always wanted us to get to, and now we've gotten there. Excellent. Will you tell us a little bit more about what's important to you about your mission statement? Or in other words, what motivates you to get up every morning and do all this stuff?
Well, thank you for asking. Our mission, as I said, remains the same, and that is to expand the capabilities, confidence, and quality of life for children and adults with disabilities by providing programs in dance, drama, creative writing, music, and visual art. Okay, so that's technically what we do and why we do it. But the thing that gets me out of bed every day and looks forward to our programs in action is the fact that what we're really doing is we're changing lives through the arts.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day, I am witness to this. I hear stories from our teaching artists, not only here in Madison, like in the class that your daughter takes, but throughout the state. We truly do change the lives of not only our participants in our programs, but caregivers, other family and support, and the casual audience member who attends one of our concerts or happens across one of our exhibitions that's out in the world, too. They learn so much about what's possible and bear witness to that creative energy, and it changes their lives.
I love that term, bear witness. It's one of my favorites. But, okay, I guess I'm also a little confused. You're throughout the state?
Yes, that's right. Right. We are a statewide organization. We're headquartered in Madison, where you bring your daughter.
Beautiful facility.
Yes, it is wonderful. But we do have programs in many different cities, and our programs also travel throughout the state. We have exhibitions that travel the state.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. We were very recently in the new Associated Bank building in downtown Milwaukee. Right before the holidays and during the holidays, we had a 30-plus piece exhibition of art by children and adults with disabilities that surrounded the great big Christmas tree that was in like a rotunda lobby.
Right. Oh, mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Yep.
Okay, so there's exhibitions, and then how do people take classes in other parts of the state? Are there also other
sites? Yes, we have choirs that meet either weekly or every other week and then perform for their communities, too. We have them in Appleton, Madison, Milwaukee, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Rapids, and we are forming one right now in Eau Claire.
Oh, you've hit all of our stations.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And
yeah. Yes.
Well, great.
So wait.
We are also, yeah. If I may say that,
please.
For anyone listening in the Appleton area, mm-hmm. we have a fantastic, very active choir there, but we are down a choir director. Ooh. So we are actively hiring. It's a paid position. And the number one qualification is someone who loves to have a really wonderful time.
That's so cool.
I would meet that qualification.
There you
go. But do you have to know how to sing? Because that I definitely...
It really helps.
I couldn't do.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. All right. Might not be the one for me. Well, Christina, can you tell listeners what type of programs you have for those with disabilities?
Yes, absolutely. We work with people and offer programs for people 3 years old to throughout their lifespan. We teach classes in all of these different art forms. Again, we have the choirs, too, so we have some performance opportunities. We also have a free and very accessible program that is our annual Call for Art, and that is happening right now. The deadline is Valentine's Day.
Mm, right. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yes.
Because I've read the email, and I was thinking, oh, I can't wait that I get to talk to her in person and ask her more about this.
Oh, sure. It's a longstanding program that truly does reach every corner of the state, too. So we call out and say, hey, everybody, anybody 5 years old and up who identifies as having a disability, though there's no litmus test, there's no proof required, no doctor's note, to send in up to two pieces of original artwork And it doesn't have to be something that you make, you know, this week. It could be something that you made in the past. Mm. And you can either send it to our office or just send a photograph of it to us. And then we exhibit all of the art in person or digitally as well.
Sure.
And in a huge exhibition that's open to the public. And it's adjudicated. We bring in three arts professionals, and they choose some outstanding pieces in different age categories, and we give cash prizes. And those pieces are exhibited then throughout the state, too. Oh. And not only do we have a call for art, but just today we launched our call for poetry.
Ooh.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So it's the parallel program to our call for art. We ask for, this year's theme is grief, which I think we all have been experiencing on some sort of level.
Definitely.
And then we will publish the winning poems.
Oh, that is exciting.
That is exciting. Mm-hmm.
Where do you see yourself publishing those?
We'll self-publish.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, mm-hmm. will they go, is it something that people will buy? Will it be a hard copy?
Well,
or will it be something that is out digitally?
These are all things that we're discussing right now. We've done our call for poetry for the last 2 years, and those winning pieces are part of a visual exhibition. So now with this third year of award-winning pieces, we'll take the 3 years and turn them into a collection. And these, all of the winners of our Creative Power Awards, usually it's a very private ceremony. This year, for the first time, we're opening it up to the public. We'll be at My Arts here in Madison for an incredible celebration. It's called the Creative Power Awards Celebration on May 6th.
Very
is that
cool.
open to the
It is open to the public. It is on our website right now. We have dedicated, you know, we're of course dedicated to accessibility, and that includes our ticket price is $15 a person.
That's
and
great.
With discounts for groups.
Oh, that's nice. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Where can people go to learn more about this and about all of your programs?
They can go to artsforallwi.org.
Okay.
And you can also follow us on all of the social media platforms as well.
Artsforall.wi.
No, artsforallwi.org.
Perfect. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see it. It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So grab a pen and paper and write that down. Mm-hmm. And did we miss any of the programming? So we've got poetry and
drum circle
right at our location on Madison's north side.
Yeah,
we do teach classes during the day and in the evenings, like your daughter is right now.
Right,
that space offers free parking. Everything is on one level. We do better than ADA accessibility throughout our space. Yeah, and the prices are very affordable.
They're
too.
Very affordable, mm-hmm. and if you have IRIS funding, I know that also covers it. And it's just been a really positive experience. But there's also art classes happening there too.
Yes, we teach visual art, creative writing, different kinds of music classes. In addition to the drumming, we do music and movement, different instruments and singing together. And we do classes in other people's spaces, too, like the Goodman Community Center, classrooms, like traditional classrooms throughout the state, too.
Oh, wow. How does that happen?
We have relationships with different districts.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
When our conversation continues, we are going to learn why art matters and what programs Arts for All Wisconsin has to offer for not only those with disabilities, but also veterans and those with memory loss.
As the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003,
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
the devil's advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495. Yeah. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and he's back in Scranton. So
I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy today with a high of 34. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 16 tonight. Partly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 37. Tomorrow, overcast. Overcast Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 39. 43. Chance for scattered showers Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Christina Martin Wright from Arts for All Wisconsin.
In the last segment, you shared all the programs you have available for those with disabilities, and I was getting so excited. I'm like, tell us more and tell us how you have these relationships. And then I got reminded in the break that there's programs for other folks, too, those with memory loss and their caregivers, as well as veterans. Can you tell us about those programs, please?
Absolutely. These are actually some of my favorite programs. They take place in Madison, but then we also have done veterans programming throughout the state as well, in conjunction with veteran centers. These are two absolutely free programs that we offer. And one is the veterans program really is designed for veterans with disabilities. But again, that can be, you know, PTSD, other mental health issues, too. Sure. And we have one program in visual art and then another program in creative writing, including a creative writing program that is a one-on-one based program.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And the only way that we're able to offer programs like this, because they are free of charge and really are geared more towards a smaller sized group, just because of, you know, very specific concerns.
Sure.
Is because of sponsorships. And we are very fortunate to have received some corporate sponsorships and foundation sponsorships as well. But we are always open to and seeking funding to support this so that we can meet the need and demand.
And I'm sure that's on your website as well.
Yes.
So we've given everyone plenty of time to grab a pen and paper. So let's go ahead and say that website one more time, if you don't mind.
Yes, it is artsforallwi.org. So artsforallwi.org.
Perfect.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the other program that you had just asked about is our memory care programs. And to be perfectly frank, we have been working with people with memory loss for various reasons and memory challenges throughout our entire history.
Of course.
Right. But very recently, we became Dane County's SPARK provider. And SPARK is a national program. It's a branded program that follows a very specific formula. And what's very unique to this program is that it not only is for the individual with memory loss, but it's also then for the care partner as well.
That's
so
excellent.
It is a dual program and provides some wonderful connections for both parties.
Can you give an example of how?
Yes. Because, well, for one, this Spark program spans all different art forms, which also makes us a unique provider because we do work in so many different art forms. So it's the right now it's the first Friday of the month. Again, it is free. And for example, we had one that was a songwriting class. So we split the group into two parts, and one group wrote the melody and the other or the refrain and the chorus and
sure.
Verses and chorus
right,
verses and
exactly
chorus. And they wrote new lyrics to You Are My Sunshine.
Oh.
So we started with something very familiar,
yeah. mm-hmm.
So more easily accessible to,
yep.
to the memory. And then they wrote their own lyrics and were guided by our staff members. And I cannot say enough about our staff. We have an amazing, professional, experienced, compassionate staff.
And because this is a show for caregivers, mm-hmm. I want to make sure I'm understanding this clearly. So when you say they got divided into different groups, this mm-hmm. is both the people that are dealing with memory issues
yes.
as well as their caregivers.
As their caregivers, right.
So the caregivers are
partnered class.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So they're participating and it's giving them something to do that's really purposeful.
Absolutely. And it's also connecting them to people who can relate directly to their own experience.
Sure.
So we'd also see that all of our classes, whether they're for children or for adults or, specific groups of people or geared towards a specific disability or a specific challenge, that these are social opportunities. And that is so, so important for everyone, but particularly people with disabilities and people who are caregivers, too. Their isolation in these communities is so profound that I think that part of the changing lives experience that I witness is through the connections that are made and people truly being seen and appreciated.
Well, I could speak real quickly to mm-hmm. that. I know that's why Nicole loves it, because she always is so much more comfortable in a place where there's people like her and she feels mm-hmm. that she's being fully accepted and she can fully accept them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for acknowledging that, because that is such a huge part of it. And I know there's a lot of different avenues that you can go down to support those with disabilities or memory loss, and even veterans. Why does art matter?
Oh, I think it's a unifier. It provides so many connections. Art is essential for healing, too. And also, it shows us what's possible. And that's an aspect of working with people with disabilities who it's so easy to identify the things that are challenging or unattainable, but through art, through music, through dance, through writing, and creation, and their own personal experience and mm-hmm. contribution to that, we all can see and they can experience what is possible.
Definitely. And I was going to ask you about how have you seen your clients grow or come alive, but it's clear you're explaining that right now,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And truly, one example is through I know we're probably going to have to go, but
it's okay.
Through an experience that someone had where a care provider who was there with a client learned that the person that they were with who were attending classes could write.
I saw that video on your page. We'll talk about it more
Fantastic.
After this
Thank
short
you.
Break.
Thank
yes.
You.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. There's word a suspected Chinese spy balloon is now high over the Midwest. Pentagon correspondent David Martin.
Military officials have recommended against shooting it down, but officials say that recommendation could change once the balloon gets over an unpopulated area.
China insists it's a civilian balloon conducting research. The government says employers tacked on 517,000 jobs last month. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
Although economic growth is weakening, the labor market remains resilient, which means the Fed is likely to continue raising interest rates.
The unemployment rate hit a new half-century low, 3.4%. Forecaster Craig Allen watching a northern deep freeze.
This dangerous chill has the temperatures already well below zero from Minnesota and Wisconsin across the lakes, as well as Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York State, and now moving into New England.
Wind chills dipping below zero. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bock Day.
It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Wait, was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. We've just been speaking with Christina Martin Wright from Arts of All Wisconsin, and she was going to finish up telling the story, and I will try my best to say it, but I would really encourage everyone to go to Arts for All Wisconsin's website and check it out, the YouTube video there. There was a woman that made an art project, and she was there with her IRIS provider or care recipient, care provider. And she wrote, I forget his name, we'll call him Jim. She wrote on her art piece, "I love Jim," and nobody knew that she even knew how to write. And
no way.
Underneath, she wrote, "I wonder if anybody loves me."
Wow.
I know. Doesn't that give you the chills?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. It sure helps us understand the need for this program.
Yes.
And art.
For sure. And we would love to be able to give deserving caregivers a free caregiver gift box for being the awesome caregiver that they are. If you would like to give a gift box on your behalf to a caregiver that you know, email empowercaregivercommunity@gmail.com and tell us who you would like to receive that gift box, and we will get it in the mail to them.
Exactly. And I actually dropped off one from November today, and Nancy Alar, one of the people we recognize, was like, oh, it continues. It didn't all just happen in November. And so it's awesome to be able to do these opportunities and hear these great stories about what caregivers are doing for their care recipients. And now I am excited to be talking to Tim Markle of the Forgiveness Factor and how forgiveness can change everything. I need some help here, Tim.
Tim, you know what? I have known you for a while, but I did not realize what an amazing journey and resume you have. Can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself and what brought you to your forgiveness journey?
I would love to, but of course, a lot of the good stories start with something not so good. And so growing up in Ohio, I grew up in Toledo, wonderful little town.
Yep.
But I grew up in a home that my dad was an alcoholic. I had an abusive brother, but it just really was rough. I mean, he wasn't a mean guy or anything, but it was getting obvious when I started to grow older just how much of a hold the alcohol had on him. And I remember one time I'm waiting for him with my mom at a junior high event, and she's like, don't worry, he'll show up. And I'm like, no, he's not going to show up. And if he does, he's going to smell like a brewery and a smokestack, because he was a smoker and a drinker. And I'm like, I don't really care anymore. And she's like, well, that's when she began to think that maybe they needed to move on from the marriage. So they ended up separating and then getting divorced, which of course I blame my dad for. I grew up just wanting to be anything but my dad.
Sure.
In high school, I would write papers about alcoholism and about being a child of an alcoholic and how to avoid being a child of an alcoholic and all these things. And I was very, very careful and only drank very sparingly in high school, because the one thing I didn't want to be was my dad. And so I basically cut him out of my life, because I got to the point where I just hated him. And I just had so much anger. So then growing up, ironically enough, I decided to have my own drinking problem. So I actually became an alcoholic and started to understand my dad a little bit better through my own disease and when I recovered. One of the things I did was I wrote him a note and said, hey, do you remember like the times that you drove drunk and the time we got into that accident and how scary it was after grandma's house? And, you know, all these things that were really traumatizing to me. And his response was, I'm sorry, I don't remember any of that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, here I was stuck trying to figure out how to have a relationship with a dad that I didn't like. He certainly wasn't the dad that I wanted or the dad that I saw everybody else have. Well, then fortunately, I got married to a wonderful person in Wisconsin. And she insisted that family mattered. And so she was going to have the grandkids meet their grandparents, my mom and my dad, even though they were in separate cities in Ohio. And so I had to come to grips with how is this going to work? And so slowly but surely, I found ways to set boundaries, because there was a time when he was still smoking and drinking, but also to find those little ways that we could connect. Well, the fantastic thing happened when he got sober as well. And so all of a sudden we had this recovery in common, and we could talk about recovery things. And I learned to put aside what I wanted my dad to be and who I thought my dad should be, and started to look at him who he was right in front of me. And when I started to deal with, yes, this was my past, this was the trauma, this was hurt, but also this is what I did about it. And some of what I did about it wasn't very healthy.
Sure.
So what do I want to do about it now? And now I want to love that guy. And I got to tell you, I didn't have as many years as I would have wanted to learn how to really appreciate him, learn how to love him. He ended up passing away after a stroke. And I have to tell you, when the family was around his deathbed, I couldn't help to think, what a difference this would have been if I had never learned how to forgive him. Mm-hmm. It would have been a time of sorrow. It would have been a time of anger. It would have been a time of remorse and resentment and so much pain. But because I had chosen to forgive and built that relationship back up with him, it was a time of letting go and a time of joy that his body was finally free.
Thank you so much, Tim, for sharing that story. I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that can relate. I want to just ask, what is the forgiveness factor and what are you setting out to accomplish?
Sure. So forgiveness factor is this little thing that I started a few years ago because I was finishing up a second master's because I just am not, you know, I just do things. But
you're a professional student.
I was for a while. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the second master's, you know, you think about 2, maybe 3 years for a master's. So this was 10 years into my second master's. And so it was an extended time. And they said, hey, you have to finish this up. You finished the courses. Now you have to do a research paper or capstone project. I said, well, what's the paper? And they said, well, you write something, you research it really good, and then it gets put on a shelf and nobody looks at it again. I said, well, that doesn't sound too valuable. What's this capstone project? And so they explained what it was. So for my capstone project, I took my faith background, which was a Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. So I took my faith background and I looked at the research that Dr. Enright was doing out of the International Forgiveness Institute. And I overlaid the faith journey with the science and came up with a course that didn't just teach why it was important to forgive, which if you're like me, you knew growing up. Told every, you know, every Sunday, you need to forgive. You read it, you need to forgive. Your parents tell you, you need to forgive. But I can't remember anybody teaching me how. And so Dr. Enright's research opened this door about how to forgive. And so I decided, you know, this is something that's worth time. And so I've started to teach some classes at our local health center about how to forgive. I've done some conferences. I write little forgiveness boosts. I do audio forgiveness boosts on the radio. It's just been a lot of fun teaching people how forgiveness and the qualities, the changes that you can make to make your heart ready for forgiveness, because it's not always easy.
No, and it's funny, Tim, I didn't know you were going to mention Dr. Enright. I actually was able to meet him and have him in my classroom a few years back, and I love his work. And I think forgiveness is super powerful, right? Forgiveness is something that we all need to explore, but I'm wondering if you could help make a connection for our listeners. What do you think it is about forgiveness that caregivers should be kind of putting in the forefront of their journey?
Well, one of the reasons why I also took this journey is because I too have a son with special needs. And for a job, I work out of the Waisman Center and I meet so many families and I hear so many stories. And I have yet to hear a story that doesn't include the way that somebody let them down or lied to them or made them feel less than. Made them feel ashamed.
And Tim, are you saying the caregivers telling you that, or you're saying the people who they're the care recipients?
The families. So both the caregivers and the care recipients can tell me about how the doctor didn't give them the right information, or how the therapist didn't listen to them.
Now
I see
what
you mean. They said it hurt and it hurt them more. And so they all have the story of pain, and
yes,
they all have the story of this isn't what I expected. And this isn't what I wanted. And what I see happening is they start to carry that around inside of them, which then starts to jumble up inside, but they also continually refer back to it and becomes this touch point of, well, you know, he did that or she did that, and I'm never going to forgive him. I'm never going to get over it. And every time they say that, that anger boils right back up.
Of course.
And pretty soon we get to a point where the slightest indication that it's going to be like that opens this pathway in our brain and sends us right down the slide to anger and resentment. And then it like cuts us off from anything good that might be happening because we get stuck there.
And so where does forgiveness come in?
So forgiveness comes in, and we look at those people. And one of the things that Dr. Enright teaches is that we learn to believe that everybody is worthy, that everybody has worth, okay? That there's no baby has yet to be born that deserve to have their humanity card taken away from them. Is if you think about that little infant, they are born just a bunch of potential, a bunch of noise, and really weird smells. Yep. There's a whole lot of smells.
Whole lot of sounds, but you're right, whole lot of potential too.
But that bundle of potential, and then something happens in life. So is there a point in that life where they lose their worth as a human being? Or have we just chosen to take it away from them and declare that they are now a monster?
It's an interesting question.
Pain that they've caused us. Mm-hmm. So we spend time reflecting on what does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to have worth? And do we have worth? Can we instill that worth in others? And most importantly, can we believe that somebody who has hurt us actually has worth? Mm. Or because they've caused us pain, they're now worth less. And one of the things we talk about is, don't we cause people pain sometimes too? And we certainly are not worthless.
Exactly. Well, that covers some of the resentment. And you know, when you feel like you've been wronged, but what about self-forgiveness? What about the guilt factor when you're feeling like you didn't have enough time and you should be doing more and you're not tending to your work or the relationships that you want to nurture?
Or you lose patience with the care recipient.
Right.
So I have so much guilt around that, Tim.
Absolutely. Because it's a bad thing, right? We don't feel bad about good things. We feel bad about things where we look at it and we say, gee, I had a choice and I made the wrong one. I screwed up. And again, one of the things we talk about is the fact that that's universal. That is every single dang person on this earth. It happens to everyone. You are not unique in messing up. And your intention might not even been to mess up. You probably didn't set out to hurt anyone, but you were just pushed to a limit. And maybe you lost it. Okay. Well, what would happen if you walked in on somebody who was just so out of control and dysregulated with their own emotions that they did something they didn't want to do? And you're their friend. You walk into that room. You're probably going to calm them down. You're probably going to tell them it was okay. You're probably going to tell them you understand. You're going to tell them that it happens to everybody. In other words, you're going to show them compassion. Self-forgiveness begins with self-compassion. Is we learn how to look back on our lives and say, no, I haven't done everything perfectly.
Exactly.
But I also am not a monster.
No,
and I have worth.
Yes. We talk a lot about self-compassion on this show, and specifically the work that Kristen Neff has done around it. So I totally hear you there. Wonderful things that you're telling us. And if you want to be able to change your physical and mental health for the better in one easy step, keep listening. We'll tell you how to do it.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
Trudy, so
they're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge, and then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled and vote Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with highs around 32. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 16 tonight. High of 37 tomorrow. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected Tuesday. Decreasing clouds by Wednesday. Upper 30s Tuesday. Low 40s by Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and my name is Kristen, and I'm here with my co-host Liza, and we're having a fascinating conversation with Tim Markle from The Forgiveness Factor. And based on the name, you can imagine that our conversation is about forgiveness, and we're going to keep plunging into that.
Yeah. Tim, I know you're part of the International Forgiveness Institute, which is located in Madison and does forgiveness research in conjunction with the UW-Madison. And I am sure that they have to have studies that include the physical impacts of forgiveness. Can you tell listeners the power of forgiveness, not only for your mental health, but for your physical health?
Absolutely. And so there are studies out there, and two of them that you can find are on the International Forgiveness website. One has to do with cardiac patients who are nearing their end of life. And so part of them went through forgiveness course, and then the other did not. And then they went back and took the other one through. But the results were that even though their circumstances hadn't changed, the patients that had been through the forgiveness education program said that they now had a better quality of life, even though there really wasn't any appreciable change. But medically, they also had better blood flow after the course than before. So the other study that I like to talk about, too, is fibromyalgia women who were abused as children. And not only do we see the effect of forgiveness on less depression, less anger, higher quality of life, they also reported less pain. They also reported actual less symptoms of what they had. Now, when I teach the course, I don't get into a lot of the scientific, you know, this is how that study went, this is how that study went. But what I do talk about is just think about if someone walked in the room right now that you just had a problem with, what's going to happen to your body? Your shoulders are probably going to hunch up. Your heart rate's going to go up. You're going to tense up. And then if you stay that way, what's going to happen? Your muscles are going to get sore. You might get an ulcer. You're probably going to end up with headaches. Maybe you start to self-medicate in one way, shape, or form. Is we all get hurt, and we all deal with that hurt, even when we're pretending we're not dealing with it. So one of the clues that we can have that, ooh, I've got something to work on here, is that tenseness that we can feel in our bodies. And that's one of the ways that we know that maybe this isn't going as good as it could with this relationship. Maybe I need to think about changing my end of it, because guess what? You're never going to change the other person's end. The only end you get to change is yours. You get to choose your reactions. You get to choose your responses. And so wouldn't you rather have a relaxed, non-ulceric, non-headache response to someone? That's what forgiveness can do.
That's phenomenal. And it's real obvious that we can see the physical, emotional, and spiritual component to what you're talking about. Can you tell listeners a little bit more about how they can get in contact with you or get more exposure to this? Like, what would be the next step if I was a listener and I wanted to stay connected to the Forgiveness Project?
Oh man, if this has touched a part of your life and you want to be connected and know a little bit more, the first place that I would say start would be the website, which is www.forgivenessfactor.org. On there, you're going to hear the latest audio forgiveness boosts. You're going to have links to the latest written forgiveness boosts that I've had. But you're also going to have access to any upcoming speaking engagements that I have. Sometime in March, we're going to launch a 4-week mini-series on forgiveness. And then later in the month, we're going to have a 6-week course out of Stoughton Health, which will be just digging in and hands-on work about forgiving. And all that information, how to register for those, will be on our website. It also includes a link to the International Forgiveness Institute, which has now years of experience with forgiveness and stories.
Oh, well, that is just excellent. Tim, this has been wonderful. Like I said, I knew I needed to hear about forgiveness. There's a lot of different issues that go on in my life as a caregiver that cause me that angst and that frustration and anger. And I'm really looking forward to digging into. Tell it to me again. What's the website?
ForgivenessFactor.org.
Okay. ForgivenessFactor.org. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you so much, Tim. I gotta say, I feel better. I feel better just listening to you.
Yes, exactly. You do. You have a very soothing and good radio voice. Your audio boosts are going to be awesome to listen to.
You make the world a better place. Thank you so much, Tim.
Yep. Take care. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
And if you want to do more to protect your physical and mental health, join us for our 6-week Powerful Tools for Caregivers course. It is a free offering that we're doing, and you can sign up at the empoweredcaregivercommunity.com. It'll be Wednesdays starting April 12th through May 17th. We're going to do this one in the afternoon from 12 o'clock to 1:30 via Zoom.
We're hoping that people can join us over their lunch hour. Let's say that all one more time. Powerful Tools for Caregivers course, free. Sign up at empoweredcaregivercommunity.com. It's going to be Wednesday starting April 12th, every Wednesday through May 17th from 12 to 1:30 via Zoom. All right, Liza, what stood out for you today in our fabulous show? There's so much.
I know. There's so much. I think in regards to Arts for All Wisconsin, I think it is just the power of art, you know, just the empowerment that it can give those doing the art. And like she said, the community and the social aspect. And I was thrilled to hear that they are throughout Wisconsin. So I didn't know that. And then in regards to Tim, where do you even begin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, forgiveness is such a huge factor in one's own health and well-being. And I can totally relate to that fibromyalgia part. You know, there had been a time where I was struggling and I would go to the doctor all the time. And I think just to appease me, they would give me new labels. Oh, you got chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and some other thing that doesn't mean anything.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
And at some point I thought, you know what? I need to do some work on myself. You know, all tests always come back normal, so that's good, right?
Right.
But something's not right. And I think when I did that deep dive and it resulted in a lot of forgiveness, I had shared with Tim over commercial, I had a similar experience growing up, I did feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes all the difference in the world. How about you? What did you learn today?
Well, for me, what I learned is that Christina is running a really fabulous program, and you can see how much she loves it. I wish our listeners could have seen her face every time she got deeper into the details about what the program is and what it offers. Her face was just lighting up more and more, and this huge smile. And you could see that it is an organization that is run the right way, because it's coming from a place of love and compassion and support. And that's why my daughter is in those drum circles, right? And we got to hear Jim's drum circle, and we know that it is making a difference for Nicole and for the people in the group. For Jim, when I met him, he talked a lot about his journey and what got him into music. He also deals with disabilities. And then for me, in talking with other parents there. And then with Tim, I just, as I said, I can't wait to dive into more of the stuff that he is sharing and that I know forgiveness is something I struggle with, and that's it's going to be something that is really going to help me.
Definitely. I would let listeners,
we know that caregiving can be overwhelming, and we're getting the sign that we are out. You got this, though. And
do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local civic media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation, too. The State of the Union address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local civic media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.